Tonight was night number one of the 2023 WWE draft. And the first draft under Triple H. What moves would he make to shake up the WWE roster? He talked about this draft shaking up the very foundation of the entire company. All talent eligible from Raw and SmackDown divided up into two pools. One tonight, one coming up on Raw this Monday night. NXT talent also eligible to be drafted. And we did get some NXT talent drafted. Now that night one is in the books, I will say SmackDown tonight was in Corpus Christi. But I may have to start calling it Corpus Christi again because it was actually, I thought, a pretty good crowd. You know, you guys are going to kill your gimmick if you keep making noise like this. But SmackDown was in Corpus Christi tonight. And I was trying to think of a word, a good word that I would want to use to sum up night one of this draft. And the word I kept coming back to was baffling. There were some baffling moves on this show tonight as far as the draft is concerned. What they did with Cody, for one. What they did with their women's champions, both on the main roster and on NXT. You know, when Shawn Michaels came out in the fourth round of the draft tonight to announce the picks, and he was talking about how unhappy he was. Well, I'm not very happy to make this announcement. He wasn't working you. I am sure that Shawn Michaels was not very pleased with some of the moves that were made and some of the people he lost in the draft tonight. But just some baffling moves. And then when I hear Triple H come out and I hear some of the other presenters come out and they're talking about Raw selects, and SmackDown selects. You know, we have the NFL draft is ongoing right now. You hear them say, you know, with the fourth pick in the draft, you know, such and such team selects. They're trying to make it out to be like a real draft. The only problem is, who exactly is doing the selecting? It's just goofy. Raw has no general manager. SmackDown has no general manager. So who exactly is doing the selecting in these drafts? Adam Pearce is the de facto authority figure on this show. I guess it's supposed to be him. We don't know. Actually, this would have been a great opportunity for them to reintroduce authority figures for each show if they're going to do a hard brand split. But they didn't do that. They said instead that so-and-so was selected depending on what show they went to. But I'm going to go through these moves one by one instead of sort of outlining them all here at the beginning. There were a few of them that were more baffling than others. There were other moves that I think are going to be a big benefit to Raw. And I think there were other moves that were going to be a big benefit to SmackDown. There were some moves that I liked. There were some moves that, you know, I outlined in my mock draft. And there were many that didn't happen. We're going to go through all of that. But there was also a baffling announcement to accompany some of these baffling draft picks that we had on this show tonight. It was a baffling announcement with regard to the new consolation belt that was introduced on Raw Monday night, which some people are calling mini Big Gold. They made an announcement, the announcers did, on the show tonight, and they made it very clear that this new championship will be on Monday Night Raw because the reigning champion, Roman Reigns, has been drafted to SmackDown. So Roman is going to be staying put. And whatever brand Roman Reigns is not on, the new belt will be on the other brand. That means Monday Night Raw. So they made that very clear. But then Wade Barrett made a very confusing announcement. He said that top stars from Raw and SmackDown, in terms of how are they going to determine this new champion, there's going to be a tournament. Top stars from Raw and SmackDown will battle it out in a tournament, the final of which will take place at Night of Champions, which, of course, is taking place on May 27th in Saudi Arabia. We already knew that. We knew a new champion was going to be crowned at Night of Champions. That's not the surprise. What's surprising is that if the new title is brand exclusive, if the title is going to be exclusive to Monday Night Raw, and the draft ends on Monday, so clearly this tournament is not going to start until after the draft is already over, and we know where everybody is, then why do we have Raw and SmackDown stars in a tournament for a Raw championship? They made that very clear. that this title is going to be brand specific. Even if a SmackDown talent is in the tournament and doesn't go on to win the championship, that would mean that over the course of the next month, as this tournament plays itself out, you're going to have SmackDown talent potentially crossing over. You're going to have talent crossing brands, which defeats the entire purpose of this draft that we are in the middle of sitting through. Every time they do one of these drafts, we hope, and people say, well, you know, if they take it seriously, if it's treated like a real draft, if they do what they did in the early days of the draft, they're not. That's the point. They just introduced a new title not even a week ago and told us that it's going to be Raw specific tonight. And they're talking about Raw and SmackDown talent in the tournament. I don't understand it. Now, I have to assume it's because they're looking at the talent pool that's available to them and they want to have their options open. They want to have access to some of those talents that are currently on SmackDown. And the idea has to be that if a SmackDown talent were to go on to win this tournament, that they would automatically be flipped back over to Monday Night Raw. It has to be. It can't be any other way. So I assume that is going to be the logic here with this tournament. But just the fact that they would even say that, you're having a tournament for this Raw belt with Raw and SmackDown talent at a time when you're doing a draft, as if the draft is supposed to mean anything. This is what I'm always talking about. This is why you can't take this shit seriously. Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, we're going to talk about this. We're going to go through all of the moves. We're going to go through every single round of this draft. I'm going to give you my thoughts on the picks, and you'll see them also scrolling here on the bottom of your screen. But we also had a WrestleMania main event tonight for the second time. Night one of WrestleMania had the Undisputed Tag Team titles on the line, the Usos defending against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And tonight was the rematch. And the story coming out of this match is that Roman Reigns would not be very happy with the Usos if they did not deliver, if they did not win back the tag team championships. Well, the Usos did not win back the tag team championships. In fact, the plan that the Bloodline had, Solo Sikoa was coming out. What was he coming out to do? Was he coming out to excommunicate the Usos from the Bloodline? We'll never know because he got cut off by Matt Riddle. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are still your tag team champions, and now going into Raw this Monday, there is Bloodline drama. Not that Roman Reigns is going to be on the show. He wasn't on the show tonight either. I don't think he's going to be on the show on Monday. Brock Lesnar will be there. If Roman Reigns was going to be there, they would have told us. So whatever may end up happening, Roman will not be there in the flesh, but it's not looking good for Jimmy and Jey Uso after what happened at the end of the show tonight. This is your WWE Draft Night 1 recap and your WWE SmackDown review here for Friday, April 28th, 2023. I am the Solo Monster. Thank you so much for choosing me for your Draft Night coverage. I do appreciate you hanging out with me here on a very rainy, very wet Friday night here in New York. It's going to be a washout all weekend. The rain is coming down outside, but it's nice and cool in here. That's why I got my hoodie back on. It's not quite summer weather yet here in New York. Super chats are open. You see one right there on your screen. Thank you to everybody so far who has sent in super chats. Let me know what you thought of these draft picks tonight, because I'm going to be telling you what I think of this draft. I want to hear from you. What do you think of this draft? We're halfway through. And so by all means, in your super chats, if you would like to, leave comments about what you thought tonight, what you think might happen on Monday and night two. Hit the like button as well, because we need 500 likes on this video to do Be the Booker. That's the goal for tonight. If we hit 500, we will do that later on in the stream. And of course, you can become a channel member. Channel memberships are open. Bobby's World, thank you. He just gifted a new channel membership to somebody. You can become a channel member. You can gift channel memberships to other people randomly here on the channel. Whatever you choose to do, I say thank you for that. So Triple H, his very first draft, officially. Of course, we all know that Triple H ain't the one really pulling the strings here, but Triple H's first draft as the head of creative in WWE, the chief content officer, came out on stage to open the show up tonight. He was out to the podium to welcome us to night number one of the WWE draft. And for Mr. Dynamite in the chat, who is wondering if they're going to split tag team titles, if there was any indication of them doing so, there was no indication whatsoever. I have no idea if they have any plans in mind to split the tag team titles. I have already said I would not split the tag team titles because the tag team division in WWE, I don't believe, is strong enough to be split in half and to sustain two different sets of tag team titles. I support keeping them unified until they call up more teams or create more teams. Ricochet and Braun Strowman, right? Mushed together, they're developing into a good team, right? But they're still fairly new. You've got them, you've got the Viking Raiders, you've got the Street Profits, you've got Alpha Academy. After that, it gets very fuzzy. Obviously, you have the Usos. You have Zayn and Owens. That's not a bad division, but then you're talking about cutting it in half and having two sets of tag belts defended independently. I just don't think the division is strong enough for it. So if it were up to me for now, I'd keep the belts together. But no, there was no indication about them splitting those titles or any titles. But Triple H laid down the ground rules here at the very beginning. He explained that 50% of their roster will be drafted tonight, with the other half to be drafted on Raw this Monday. In addition, select superstars from NXT are also eligible to be drafted to either brand. The post-draft rosters officially will go into effect on Monday, May 8th. That is the Monday following the Backlash pay-per-view next weekend. So he said it's time to shake things up. With the first four picks of round number one, the first pick goes to SmackDown and they select all three, drafted as one. Paul Heyman. I love, by the way, the first name mentioned in the WWE draft, technically the first name drafted, was not a wrestler. It was Paul Heyman. But that's how valuable he is to this company. Paul Heyman is a very valuable asset for any company to have. I might draft him first. If it were my roster, I might take Paul Heyman on my brand first. Paul Heyman, Solo Sikoa, and the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, the Bloodline. No surprise there, other than the fact that they left the Usos out, and the Usos are going to be drafted separately. We don't know where they're going to end up, but they were not counted as part of the Bloodline. So that was the only surprise. I mean, we already knew that from the eligible pools that were released a few days ago, but that was the only real surprising element of this. It had to be Roman. I mean, how? Again, there's no GM, so the whole concept of picking Roman first is just fucking goofy as all hell. But let's pretend, right, that there are people on one side and people on the other side who are actually doing this draft. How do you not pick Roman Reigns first? Roman Reigns is the most dominant champion this company has seen in decades. He is the number one man in the company. He is the number one man in the business in terms of his position. How do you not draft him first, right? That should have been a gimme. So, no big surprise there. Triple H said that that means that the new World Heavyweight title will be exclusive to Monday Night Raw. And given their loss tonight in the main event, we may be getting Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa turning on the Usos next week for losing that match. The Usos may be at least temporarily exiled from the Bloodline. They could get back in. If they get exiled to Monday Night Raw, they could get back in by getting another match and winning the tag team titles back, because so long as the belts are unified, the champions can float. So we'll see how that angle plays out next week. Speaking of Raw, oh, there's Paul Heyman. There we go. There's our number one draft pick on screen. Hey, James Fishwick Guitar with the $12 super chat. I like that. James Fishwick Guitar with the Paul Heyman super chat. So Raw, their first pick tonight. And look, I'll say it makes sense. If this was a legitimate draft, if somebody got Roman Reigns first, I would pick this guy second. The American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, goes to Monday Night Raw. So they have separated Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. They have drafted them to separate brands, which means, theoretically, that Cody Rhodes, who right now is occupied with Brock Lesnar, but as far as we know, it's just the one match at Backlash. Their program could very well be over after next weekend. All eyes, then, are going to be on Night of Champions. All eyes are going to be on this tournament. You drafted Cody Rhodes as your number one draft pick on Monday Night Raw. Not Seth Rollins, not Bobby Lashley, not AJ Styles, not anybody else. Cody Rhodes. And you have this new championship on Raw. How does Cody Rhodes not be entered into or try to qualify for this tournament? Of course he's going to be involved in some way. He may not win, but he's got to be involved. It doesn't make any sense for him not to be. If he's your number one guy on the show, why wouldn't he go for this new championship? So automatically, if Cody Rhodes is going to be challenging for this title, it's exactly like I said on Monday. It becomes a participation trophy. For him, more so than anybody else on that roster, it is a participation trophy if Cody Rhodes goes after that title, because Cody Rhodes is the one who tried to take down Roman Reigns at WrestleMania and finish the story, and he failed. And if they have him in this tournament, which they really should, if you think about it, that's exactly how people are going to see it, and that's exactly what it is. They're seeing it for what it is. And that's the element about this that I didn't like. This completely unnecessary championship. I mean, that ship has sailed already. Coulda, woulda, shoulda at WrestleMania. But again, for Cody more than any other member of the roster, that's exactly what it is. It's a consolation prize. And if they do that, let's just say they put that title on Cody. I don't think they will. I don't think they should. I don't think they will. But if they did, that would be fucking awful. You know what else would be awful? They did say that Raw and SmackDown talent would be involved in this tournament. I put nothing past these people. We may get Roman Reigns in this tournament. Maybe Roman Reigns will go all the way to Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia, and he'll win the World Heavyweight title, and he'll unify all three. Why not at this point? Just give him all the belts. He'll be the new belt collector. You don't think there's at least a minute chance that they might not do that? Have Roman Reigns go, just to troll everybody, have Roman Reigns go to Night of Champions and win the World Heavyweight Championship? You gotta at least leave that open as a possibility. I certainly hope that Triple H is not that stupid to put that title, even if he's going to wrestle in the tournament, to actually put that title on Cody Rhodes. I certainly hope he's not that dumb. Now, there was a report out today. There was something from WrestleVotes that WWE is still very much considering the possibility of doing a rematch at WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia next year with Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, and saving the rematch for WrestleMania in 2024. Now, I don't know about you. I think that is a ridiculous idea. Just the idea of keeping the title on Roman for another full year. Just completely fucking ridiculous. But if they're going to do that, then it makes sense why they would want to keep them apart and just draft them to different brands. You would have Cody win the Royal Rumble for the second straight year. He can then choose the champion he wants to face. He picks Roman Reigns, and you've got your WrestleMania main event set up. That's a year away. A lot of things can happen in a year. A lot of bad things can happen in a year. Not just with injuries, people, you know, the fans, they cool off on certain people, or the company cools off certain people, somebody else gets hot. Look what happened with Sami Zayn when Cody got hurt and he went away. And for months, there was all of this debate about, well, maybe Sami should be the guy, and people are going to boo Cody when he gets back, because nobody expected Sami Zayn to get as hot and as over as he did. A lot can happen in a year. And when you have a story that is staring you right in the face, sometimes you have to just take your shot. Right? Instead of putting it off and putting it off and dragging it out and dragging it out, there are times where you go a little too far and you miss your moment. And I certainly hope that hasn't already happened with Cody. So that's one possibility. They're going to wait a year. Cody wins the Rumble, he goes to Mania next year and finishes the story. That's one possibility. I hope that's not the case. There is another possibility here. they've drafted these two men to different brands, right? There is a pay-per-view coming up. There is actually a pretty big pay-per-view coming up in July in London at the O2 Arena called Money in the Bank. I could see Cody Rhodes going to Money in the Bank, winning the briefcase. It's funny because I was in Philadelphia, of all places, in 2013 when Cody was in a Money in the Bank match, and he should have won that match. And they took it away from him. But this year in Money in the Bank, 10 years later, you believe that? 10 fucking years? 10 years later, Cody goes to Money in the Bank. He wins the briefcase. He gets to pick the champion he wants to defend against. I don't even remember if that's the rule for Money in the Bank. It doesn't matter. You can change the rules, right? It's certainly not the first time that this company would have changed the rules. Cody wins the briefcase. He says, I choose Roman. And you do Cody Rhodes challenging Roman Reigns at SummerSlam at Ford Field in August for the championship. You don't wait a year. You do it at SummerSlam. That is what WWE should do. The way things have now fallen with the brand split and the roster split and the draft picks, Cody goes to Money in the Bank. He wins. He goes to SummerSlam and he finishes the story at Ford Field. That is the way to go. As far as Cody Rhodes is concerned, that is the move that I would make with him after what they did here tonight. We do not need another year of Roman Reigns as the champion. I don't care about what records they want him to break. He's going to hit 1,000 days in a month. Congratulations. We'll throw him a fucking balloon party. That's great. We'll have balloon animals and everything. We don't need Roman Reigns to go another year as the champion. Cody Rhodes has far more challengers and potential challengers as the champion than Roman Reigns does. It's a much shorter list with Roman. If you're looking for fresh, new, credible opponents for him. With Cody, the sky's the limit. You got tons of choices for Cody. Whether it's Drew McIntyre, whether it's Seth Rollins, whether it's Gunther, whether it's Sheamus, you can build up fucking LA Knight if he ends up on the same brand with Cody. Randy Orton, if and when he ever comes back, plenty of different possibilities. Solo Sikoa. It's a far shorter list with Roman Reigns. I just outlined at least probably a year, year and a half's worth of talent right there that Cody could be programmed with. We don't have to wait a fucking year just to get the belt on him. So he was the second pick. With the third pick of the first round of this draft, SmackDown selects the Raw Women's Champion. They have done it again. They have blown up the champions. Raw Women's Champion Bianca Belair has gone to SmackDown. That was a surprise. They absolutely should not do another belt swap. We know how the last belt swap went. We don't need to have that again. The belt swap has always been a stupid concept anyway. Give me your blue belt, I'll give you my red belt. I mean, it doesn't get any dumber than that. And the last one didn't go too well. We don't need another belt swap, but unfortunately it looks like that's where we're headed. Now, I thought that, okay, maybe that means Bianca's going to lose at Backlash. And if she drops her championship at Backlash, that takes care of that problem. But then we found out later on in the show that it's all a moot point anyway, and we'll talk about why later on. You can pretty much figure out what I mean by that. So that possibility now is off the table. The best thing to do would have been, frankly, to have Io Sky beat Bianca at Backlash, and that would solve that problem. And well, that's pretty much out the window now. So we'll know on Monday. We can see where this is going. We'll know on Monday based on what they do with Rhea Ripley, who is not eligible to be drafted tonight, how things are going to play out and if they're just going to do a belt swap. And with the fourth pick of the first round here of this draft, Monday Night Raw selects the man, Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch will remain on Monday Night Raw, and where Becky goes, you know, so goes Seth Rollins, not eligible to be drafted until Monday, but whatever brand Becky Lynch is on, you can bet your bottom dollar that's where Seth Rollins is going to end up. And with that new title on Raw, it's the only place for him that makes sense anyway. Makes all the sense in the world for Seth Rollins to stay right where he is, although we won't know for sure until Monday. So then Triple H, with the conclusion here of round one, introduced the former tag team champions, the Usos, out on stage. They came out, they dedicated their victory tonight in the main event to the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens walked out. Sami said that he wasn't there to try to talk sense into them, but he had a question. He asked them if they thought that it was strange that Roman had not said a word to them since WrestleMania. They have not been able to get Roman on the phone. They have not seen their cousin. There's been no communication. Paul Heyman has been the conduit between both parties, but they haven't spoken to Roman Reigns. It's kind of hard to speak to Roman Reigns when Roman Reigns doesn't come to work. So Sami thought that was a little weird. He asked if they also noticed that they aren't being drafted tonight as part of the bloodline. Roman got drafted with Solo and Paul Heyman, but not the Usos. He said that they would walk out as the tag team champions. Jay said that they would walk out with nothing. And Jimmy added that KO would turn on Sami when it was over. Owen said that he didn't care what happened to them. He didn't care about what they thought. All that's going to happen tonight is they're going to walk out still the tag team champions. And so ended the opening segment of this show. We have Pete Dunne still going by Butch. You know, Madcap Moss got his name back. He's now Riddick Moss again. So I'm waiting for Butch to revert back to Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne against LA Knight. Solid match here from these two. I enjoyed this. They were chanting the man's name in Corpus Christi tonight, as most of these crowds have been doing. They have been chanting for L.A. Knight. Are they listening? I think they might be, because he actually got a win tonight. I was shocked. There was a great spot where L.A. Knight did a leap up to the top rope, and one leap delivered a gigantic superplex. The fans like that. Butch avoided Knight's blunt force trauma finish, and then he applied an armbar. L.A. Knight fought to the ropes for a rope break and then quickly nailed blunt force trauma and got a big pop for the winning pinfall. So there you go. A win for L.A. Knight. Step in the right direction. Now we wait to see where he's going to be drafted. If it were me, he ends up on the red brand, away from Roman Reigns and all these people that he would never have a chance against. Move him over to the Raw brand. That new World Heavyweight Championship, that's something that he should be involved with. Going to have a tournament on that show? He should be part of that tournament. In the back, we're in the Bloodline locker room, and the Usos are hyping themselves up for the main event. Paul Heyman is helping them out. He's giving them a little pep talk here from Paul E., reminding them that they do get drafted tonight. People think they're not eligible to be drafted tonight. They are. They are getting drafted tonight. They're either getting drafted to the island of relevancy, or they're getting drafted to the ocean of irrelevance. So tonight, the Usos come back as the tag team champions, because one way or another, tonight is the night. And that last line that Heyman delivered, he delivered. Now, you got to picture it. The Usos are sitting on a couch, right? Backs turned. Paul Heyman is standing behind them. Solo Sikoa is standing next to Paul Heyman. When Paul Heyman delivers that last line, tonight is the night, he's staring at Solo Sikoa when he delivers that line. And Solo begins to tape up his thumb for the Samoan spike. He's wrapping the tape around his thumb. And the Usos were sitting on the couch in front of them, so they were completely oblivious to any of this. After that segment, they cut to the back to show, of all people, walking out of an office with the Monday Night Raw logo on the door, Rob Van Dam. And it is kind of appropriate that Paul Heyman was in the previous segment, because when RVD walked, and I'm not insinuating he's gained weight or anything like that, but he has the ponytail like Heyman used to have. He had a suit on. When RVD came walking out of that office, I saw a little Paul Heyman in there. I said, hey, he looks a little like Paul Heyman years ago. There he is, Rob Van Dam. Talk about random. He had a placard in his hand with the names of the folks that were being drafted to Raw in the second round. Then they cut to a different part of the building. Michael Hayes walked out of a SmackDown locker room with his card. We were told they were two of our guest presenters. They had guest presenters for the second, third, and fourth round on the show tonight. And they came out after the break to commence round number two of the draft. Michael Hayes went first, And he announced that the first pick of the second round, SmackDown picks Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, the Street Profits, who have been drafted together. Which, if you're Angelo Dawkins, you're wiping your brow and breathing a sigh of relief that they're keeping the Street Profits together. My first reaction when Michael Hayes comes out, this is the first pick of the second round of this draft, right? Still early in this draft. And they announce the Street Profits, and I'm just thinking, how do you, and again, who's picking, but how do you select the Street Profits as the first pick in the second round of this draft when you still have people who are eligible to be drafted like Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley, right? I mean, two former world champions, Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley, have not yet been drafted. How do you draft the Street Profits as the first pick of the second round? Just was very bizarre to me. But as far as the landing spot, at least for Montez Ford, same with, you know, Becky and I'm sure Seth come Monday. You had to know wherever Bianca Belair goes, so goes Montez Ford. So if they were not going to split the Street Profits, you knew they were going to end up on SmackDown, and that's exactly what happened. So then it was RVD's turn. And RVD announced that Raw selects Gunther, Ludwig Kaiser, and Giovanni Vinci. The entire trio of Imperium has been drafted to Monday Night Raw. That move brings the Intercontinental Championship back to Raw, I believe, for the first time in about 4 years, I believe. Brings the title over there, and I like that move a lot. I had Gunther and Imperium in my mock draft that I did, you know, on the podcast, moving to Monday Night Raw. I just like, and we have to wait and see how the draft plays out on Monday. But the way things stand, I just like the idea of Gunther going over, getting a change of scenery, getting a change of opponents, taking over Monday Night Raw, and having people like Seth Rollins that he could work with on that show. Seth Rollins and I thought maybe AJ Styles, although that's no longer the case. But I like this move. But again, it's like what I said on Monday when they announced this new World Heavyweight Championship. And I said, you see, this is why Cody should have won at WrestleMania. It's the same thing with Gunther. Gunther should have lost the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. Sheamus should be the Intercontinental champion right now because you've moved Gunther over to Mondays. You've just debuted this new World Heavyweight Championship that you're going to be commencing a tournament for shortly. That title is the perfect target for Gunther to go after. That championship, I mean, it practically has his name on it. If not now, very, very soon. So if you had taken the Intercontinental title away from him, I mean, the timing couldn't have been any better. When they were going to do King of the Ring, I had him pegged to be the King of the Ring this year. And then would go on over the summer to challenge for one of the world championships. But they kept the Intercontinental title on him. That doesn't mean that he will not be in the tournament. It doesn't mean that he may not even get to the finals. You know, he may be competing for the championship anyway. But his chances of winning it while he is the Intercontinental champion are slim to none. Michael Hayes said that with the third pick in the second round here of this draft, give Gunther both titles, says Swank DeSauce. You know what? Fuck it. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm a little hesitant to agree with you on that just because of the situation that we now find ourselves in with Roman Reigns having unified two belts. That's why we're in this world heavyweight title mess to begin with. But yeah, Gunther is great. You want to give him both belts? Fuck it. Just give him both belts. Michael Hayes said that with the third pick, SmackDown selects WWE Hall of Famer, the Rated R Superstar Edge. He's now once again, for the first time in many, many years, part of the SmackDown roster. I had the same pick. I had the same thought. You move Edge over to SmackDown. And with the fourth and final pick of the second round, RVD said that, and this one, I mean, this should have been obvious. I mean, given who was making these announcements, how could he not read off this name? The fourth pick was the original bro, Matt Riddle. Imagine that tag team back in the day. Rob Van Dam and Matt Riddle as a team. What a tag team that would have been. That would have been very entertaining. So that was round number two of the draft in the books. Two down, two to go. We had a triple threat tag team match up next with the newly drafted Street Profits, Ricochet and Braun Strowman, who I guess is cleared. Well, clearly he has to be from the concussion that he suffered. He did suffer a concussion last week. And the LWO, Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza, who I guess is, I still call him Raul Mendoza sometimes, but it's Cruz del Toro. 3 weeks in a row. For those who don't know, the LWO has been the top merchandise seller in WWE. So the LWO merch is flying off the shelves right now. And I was thinking when I heard that, how much money, if you had a guess, and I don't have the answer, but I would love to know, how much money do you think those NWO initials for the NWO gear and all the knockoff stuff like the LWO, how much money do you think that logo has made over the last 26, 27 years? It's got to be an insane amount of money. Like, I'm pretty sure the Austin 316 shirt is the highest-selling wrestling t-shirt of all time. If it is, NWO has to be right there at number two. Austin 316 and the NWO have to be A and B. But there's been so much NWO merch, and then you have knockoffs like the LWO and parody shirts and everything, and I would just, how much money has that design made over all these years? It's got to be a staggering amount. So Del Toro landed a missile dropkick that sent Dawkins to the floor. Joaquin Wilde tagged in. He landed a springboard dive onto the Street Profits outside. Wilde then landed a Hurricane Rana into a pin on Ricochet, or a pin attempt. Strowman entered. In came Braun. And he took out Wilde. He took out Del Toro. And he took out Montez Ford. And then it was time, as it is usually every Friday, it was time to ride the Strowman Express. And Braun Strowman heads outside the ring. He barreled all of them over again on the outside. Dawkins flew over the top rope, absolutely blasted Strowman with a dive. Ricochet followed with a dive onto Dawkins. Ford tossed Ricochet back into the ring. I think he made a blind tag in here, and then he landed a gigantic frog splash for the victory. You can't be beating the Street Profits on the same night that they get drafted to their brand new show. So Street Profits, of course, we're going to win this match. It was a fun match, though. You know, I enjoyed it. The LWO, look, they lose all the time. Joaquin and Cruz are not very successful. And even Escobar, I mean, they all lose. But whenever they're out there and they're in a match like this, they always show up. They always show out. They have a good showing. Tonight was no different. I enjoyed the match. They recapped the angle from Raw on Monday night where Bad Bunny made his return and he beat up Damian Priest with a kendo stick. Then challenged him to a street fight at Backlash. They announced then that Bad Bunny is going to be on SmackDown next week because SmackDown is going to be in San Juan because it is 24 hours before Backlash. Can you believe it? Backlash is already here. Next weekend is Backlash on Saturday, so they're going to be in Puerto Rico on Friday as well, and the Bunny will be there. After the break, we had round number three of the WWE draft with Teddy Long announcing the picks for Monday Night Raw. Shouldn't he have announced the picks for SmackDown? Wouldn't it have made more sense to have Teddy Long announcing the SmackDown picks? Teddy Long announcing the picks for Raw. JBL announcing the SmackDown picks. With the first pick of the third round of the draft, JBL announced that SmackDown selects the almighty Bobby Lashley, which is a big pickup for SmackDown. With the second pick, Teddy Long said that Monday Night Raw selects the Scottish Warrior Drew McIntyre, who has yet to make a single appearance on television since WrestleMania. I believe he is out dealing with an injury. I know there's been a lot of talk about his contract situation. His contract is not up anytime soon, although apparently they are far apart on money. I don't think that has anything to do with why he hasn't been on television. I believe he is hurt. So he was drafted to Monday Night Raw. With the third pick, JBL announced that SmackDown selects Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, Meechin, and the phenomenal AJ Styles. The entire OC has been drafted from Raw to SmackDown, which means we might finally get Roman Reigns in the ring with AJ Styles for the championship. And with the fourth and final pick of the third round, Teddy Long announced that Monday Night Raw has drafted The Miz. And the crowd goes mild as The Miz will stay right where he is on Monday Night Raw. The story of this round, story of round number three here in this draft, was Roman Reigns getting two new opponents. Now, granted, it's two new opponents that will be fed to him, like meat being thrown to a lion in a cage, but it's two new opponents for Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley, who I think is a babyface. I don't know what they're doing with Bobby Lashley. I don't know what Bobby Lashley is supposed to be. He comes out, he slaps hands with the fans, right? They cheer for him, so he's a babyface, I think, right? But it's just weird. So let's assume he's a babyface. So they could do Roman and Bobby and get a pay-per-view match out of it. But you also got AJ Styles back. It's been a long time since we've seen Roman Reigns and AJ Styles in the ring together. The last time we saw those two in the ring together, that was not the Tribal Chief. That was a very different Roman Reigns. That was a very long time ago. And it was great. And I was kind of puzzled by the fact that these two were kept apart throughout this entire run that Roman has been on. But now it looks like we're finally at some point. We're going to get that match. So two new opponents for him. Drew going to Monday Night Raw means that he follows Gunther, which is not a bad thing. But it also immediately makes him a top contender for the new championship that's on Monday Night Raw, this new tournament that they're going to have. Again, I don't know what his injury status is. I don't know when we may see him back. We're going to have this tournament kicking off in the next few weeks. But assuming he's healthy enough to come back in time, he's automatically in the mix. Has to be, right? He may not be the first champion, but how do you not have Drew McIntyre in that tournament? And you know what? Here's the problem with that. For Drew, it's very similar to Cody, right? I said for Cody, more than anybody else on that roster, it feels like second place. You could say the same exact thing for Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre had his shot against Roman Reigns in Cardiff. And he lost the same way that Cody lost, thanks to Solo Sikoa. He went in there, all the fanfare, all the European fans, right, cheering for him. He got his old theme song back, the whole nine yards, and he lost. And so here we are again, where it feels like it's a silver medal because he couldn't win the gold. Zelina Vega is going to be challenging Rhea Ripley for the SmackDown Women's Championship at Backlash in Puerto Rico. She's Puerto Rican. She's very excited to be going over there and working over there for the first time. It's going to be a big night for her. But before she gets there, she had to go through Sonya Deville on this show, who got a jobber entrance. Chelsea Green was out in Sonya's corner to distract Zelina. Didn't work. Zelina surprised Sonya with a roll-up out of nowhere for the win. Not exactly a convincing victory for your number one contender for the championship, but it wasn't supposed to be because she is not meant to be a dominant force on this show. In fact, just the opposite. The story they're telling with Zelina is that she is 110% the absolute underdog who nobody expects to win going into this match at Backlash. After the match was over, Rhea Ripley kicked Vega from behind. Then she gave Sonya a headbutt, just because. Rhea went for Riptide. Zelina countered it into a spike DDT. Michael Cole sold it like Rhea got cocky. And when you get cocky, you make mistakes. You let your guard down. You underestimate your opponent. Bad things could happen. Maybe she loses her championship. They're trying to convince people that Zelina Vega has a chance. She has no chance. But they're trying to convince people that she has a chance. You know what? I take that back. I won't say that Zelina Vega doesn't have a chance just because of all this draft nonsense going on. There is always the possibility that if Rhea is going to stay on SmackDown, now that Bianca is on the show, that could be their way of getting the belt off of Rhea and giving Zelina a big win in Puerto Rico by having her shock the world and win the SmackDown Women's Championship. I think that would be atrocious to take the belt off of Rhea now after she just won it at WrestleMania, but I won't say that there is a 0% chance. I will say that there is a 3% chance. There is a 97% chance against it, but there is a 3% chance that maybe it happens. But I'm not expecting it to. And on commentary, Michael Cole said, is it probable? No. Is it possible? Yes. Of course it's possible. Anything's possible. I could interfere in the match and trip Zelina and help Rhea win the match. What is the likelihood of that happening? Not very likely. I am not going to be in San Juan next weekend. I promise you. So the entire OC was out next. Down to the ring, including AJ Styles, his first appearance here in 4 months since he broke his ankle at a live event. So very good to see AJ Styles back. He's been missed. Very good to see him back on TV. And believe me, nobody is happier to have AJ Styles back on television than Meechin, Luke Gallows, and Karl Anderson. He was about to speak when they were interrupted by the Viking Raiders and Valhalla. They made their way to the ring, and we had a standoff. And AJ told him, whoa, hold up. And he took a few steps back, and he took a seat on the top turnbuckle. And he told the OC to handle their business. And a brawl broke out. Mia Yim put Sarah Logan down with Eat Defeat, or I think that's what it was supposed to be. I'm not really sure. She didn't get all of it. I know that, whatever it was supposed to be. The Good Brothers then put down Eric with the Magic Killer. AJ told the crowd, SmackDown, we have just started. And they went to go leave, and then AJ had second thoughts. He turned around. He delivered a phenomenal forearm to Ivar and left him laying. So again, good to see AJ back on TV. Then it was time for the fourth and final round, probably the most bewildering round of all, of the WWE draft. We had Shawn Michaels, who just screwed me and fired me in the latest installment of Sound Off Gamer. Shawn Michaels delivering the picks for SmackDown. Road Dogg, who made a comment on his podcast that I wish I had it in front of me. And look, I get he's a company guy and you know he's trying to build up the current roster, but he made a comment comparing Omos to Andre the Giant and the Big Show and said something basically about him being better than both of them. But I forgot the exact quote. So Road Dogg was hanging around with Matt Riddle and RVD backstage. But Road Dogg came out to read the picks for Monday Night Raw. So they came out together, they entered to the DX theme song, and they stood next to each other at the podium on stage. Road Dogg looked like Omos, actually. I mentioned Omos. He looked like him standing next to Shawn Michaels. I'm not sure if Shawn is just that short or if Road Dogg is just that big, like tall. I think Shawn has shrunk over the years. I mean, he was never the biggest guy, but I feel like he shrunk. Shawn announced that with the first pick, SmackDown selects Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky. They're keeping Damage Control together, and the entire Damage Control faction has been drafted to SmackDown. And so there goes any chance of them putting the championship on Io at Backlash. That's the other thing I don't like about this, is that it just makes the outcome for Backlash predictable. But the solution to the problem of not doing a belt swap and just having Bianca drop the belt before, I mean, it was unlikely to begin with. Bianca's been champion for almost a year. Were they really going to have Io Sky, who can't cut promos in English? Were they going to have her be the one to break the streak and take the belt from Bianca? Of course not. If you're being honest with yourself, it was never going to happen anyway. But they just took that bullet out of the chamber. They can't fire it now. So they're all moving over to SmackDown. And look, keeping Damage Control together. Damage Control has been largely a fail. The one good thing about this, you have Bayley moving to SmackDown so she can continue to torture Michael Cole the way that she did during the Thunderdome shows. So that's something to look forward to. Road Dogg announced that with the second pick, Raw selects Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't believe Nakamura has ever been on Raw before. Well, I mean, part of the Raw roster. I'm sure he's made appearances there, but he is now moving over to Mondays. With the third pick in the draft, Shawn Michaels, you can see the look of disappointment on his face. And he said, not thrilled about this. And I thought he was going to mention Grayson Waller. Because Grayson Waller is somebody, because you knew when Shawn was out there as a guest speaker here, you knew that meant we were going to get at least one NXT pick. I thought it was going to be Grayson Waller. I guess maybe that wouldn't have made sense because he should have been happy to see Grayson Waller leaving NXT, considering the issues the two of them have had in storyline, but it was not Grayson Waller. In fact, there were no men from NXT tonight drafted to the main roster. The SmackDown pick was the NXT Tag Team Women's Tag Team Champions. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn are now officially members of the SmackDown roster, and they had a live feed from the Performance Center where all of the NXT talents were all sitting together in rows of chairs, kind of the way it used to be done with the WWE draft many years ago. They would cut to the back, and everybody in the locker room was sitting around. So they cut to the back, they cut to the PC, and we saw that Alba was in tears, hugging Isla. They were very happy. Road Dogg then said, well, if you didn't like that pick, Sean, then you're going to hate this next one. He said, with the fourth pick of the final round, Raw selects the NXT Women's Champion, Indy Hartwell. They cut to the PC. Hartwell had a walking boot on after she injured her ankle at the Spring Breakin' show on Tuesday. There was a big triple threat match for the NXT Women's Championship that completely fell apart after Indy hurt her ankle. I'm going to talk about that match and that show on the podcast on Sunday. I'll give my review. But she got hurt, and it was scary. You know, her ankle got caught underneath her as she was trying to catch Tiffany Stratton on a swan dive outside the ring. And it wasn't so much that her leg buckled, but she just, the way she came down, her ankle was caught underneath her. And that was very scary to watch. So she has a walking boot on, which is not good. I don't know what that means as far as an extended layoff. I mean, there's never a good time to get hurt. This would be a terrible time, given the fact that she's the champion and now she's been drafted to the main roster. So hopefully the injury is not that serious. But if Johnny Gargano and Dexter Lumis and Candice LeRae end up staying on Monday Night Raw, which I think they should, after this, I think they should. You may as well have them all on the same brand, have Indy on the same brand. And they could have a little way reunion. The only one missing would be Austin Theory, who I think is switching over to SmackDown. Mackenzie Mitchell interviewed Alba and Isla about being drafted when they were confronted by Caden Carter and Katana Chance, who challenged them to a match on NXT this Tuesday for the NXT Women's Tag Team titles, which was accepted. Obviously, that's their way of getting the belts off of them before they go up to the main roster. They called up the wrong team. They called up the wrong team. And I'm not even saying that Alba Fire and Isla Dawn don't belong on the main roster. They're not ready. Alba Fire, at least, and both of them, but especially Alba, more than capable of being on the main roster and working with the women they have on the main roster. I'm not saying they're not. But Katana Chance and Caden Carter have been down there now for, I think, 5 years. I don't know when they were officially put together as a team. I don't think it was a full 5 years ago necessarily, but it was. If not, it was pretty close. But they've been working together for about 5 years now. And they have turned into a tremendous tag team. And they've been tag team champions already in NXT. They are toiling down there. And it certainly doesn't seem like they're going to be drafted on Monday if they're going to be challenging for the women's tag team titles on Tuesday and probably winning them. That doesn't make sense. They called up the wrong team. I was shocked by this. I expected that we would get a women's team called up. This was not the women's team I expected. The reigning tag team champions. They do this kind of stuff from time to time, and it just, I think they just do it to shock people because people won't be expecting it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right move to make. just for shock value. So I think the wrong team got called up. And to call up both of your women's champions, absolutely baffling. That's why I said the look on Shawn Michaels' face, I don't think he was working. I don't think he had to work very hard to work that expression on his face. When he got the news, because he doesn't make these decisions, when he got the news that, hey, we're going to be calling up your women's champion, and, oh, by the way, we're going to call up your women's tag team champions, too. While I'm sure he's very happy for them, I'm sure he wasn't very happy at getting that news. Just absolutely baffling. Baffling to me. And Indy Hartwell is an interesting case. I like Indy. Indy Hartwell, in the pecking order there, there are a lot of women who are more talented in the ring, who are more prime time ready for the main roster than Indy Hartwell. So even calling Indy Hartwell up over some of the other women they have down there, it's just baffling to me. Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process. Sometimes it can come out of something positive. Other times it can be born out of grief. And losing a loved one, I've had that experience too many times in my life, and I know some of you have as well. One thing I learned out of that is that I don't need to rely on others as much as maybe I did before. Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we are the way we are until we talk through things. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can help you along on that journey. Therapy can be helpful in learning not only about yourself, but about positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It isn't just for people who have experienced trauma or loss. If you've been thinking of starting therapy, a great way to start is to give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient and suitable to your schedule. It doesn't matter how busy you may be. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. Back in the arena, Kayla Braxton started to interview Shinsuke Nakamura backstage when he was attacked by Karrion Kross, who I guess figures, shit, this guy just got drafted, I better beat him up now. So he attacked him. Kross is eligible to be drafted on Monday. He has to be drafted to Raw. I mean, he's just starting a program with Nakamura. They have not even had the first match yet. He has to be drafted to Monday Night Raw. Him and Scarlett both. I mean, just have to be. So we'll find out on Monday, but that seems to be a gimme right there. Now, they did mention that the draft is going to continue before even Monday. The draft continues tomorrow because tomorrow morning they have their SmackDown Lowdown show on Peacock. And there are going to be additional picks that were eligible. They were in the pool to be drafted tonight. And they ended up not being drafted. So these are the names that are eligible to be drafted tomorrow morning. Candice LeRae, Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville, Dexter Lumis, Dolph Ziggler, Death Row or Hit Row, Lacey Evans, Maximum Male Models, Mustafa Ali, Natalya, Omos, and MVP. And the Viking Raiders and Valhalla. So they will all find out tomorrow morning where they have been drafted to. That will be on the SmackDown Lowdown on Peacock. Main event was a rematch of the Night 1 WrestleMania main event for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defending their titles against the Usos. Usos were dismantling Owens and Zayn. They were targeting Owens' knee, which they did on television a few weeks ago. Heading into the first of two commercial breaks that they took during this main event. I mean, it was a long match. It went probably 16 or 17 minutes. So we got two breaks here. The match did, by the way. The match went over 15 minutes, not the commercial break. Although some of these commercial breaks do feel like they last 15 minutes. It was not. The match was. Jey Uso and Sami Zayn, they fought to the top rope until Zayn hit a sunset bomb for a near fall. Zayn then hit a blue thunder bomb for another one. Zayn climbed to the top rope. Jey cut him off with an enziguri, which caused Sami to crash down to the floor. Back from the final break, Owens hit a cannonball on Jimmy. He went up for the frog splash, and Jimmy cut him off. They fought on the top rope. Owens ended up nailing a fisherman buster and then a swanton bomb for a close two count. In the back, Roman Reigns phoned Paul Heyman. He answered his phone, and then he got off, and Heyman turned to Solo Sikoa and said that tonight is your night. And off went Solo. Back in the ring, Owens hit the stunner on Jimmy for a near fall. Then we saw Solo Sikoa. He was slowly making his way out to the ring, but he got jumped by Matt Riddle, who brawled with him to the back. Usos regained control. They hit Owens with a double super kick. Another double super kick followed, and then a pair for Sammy, not to be left out. They hit a third double super kick on Owens for another near fall. Usos set up for the 1D. Sammy pulled Jay out of the ring, though. Owens took advantage. He hit a stunner on Jimmy. Sammy came back in. He nailed Jimmy with the Huluva kick. And he, look, at WrestleMania, he hit Jay with the Huluva kick and pinned him. Tonight, it was Jimmy. Ate the Huluva kick and ate the three count. Still tag team champions, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. They cut to Solo Sikoa, who I guess made short work of Matt Riddle. He had come back out. He was looking at what just happened. He saw the Usos lose, and he had this shocked expression. It was like the most emotion we've seen on his face since he debuted. And Michael Cole speculated that Roman Reigns might not want the Usos in the bloodline anymore after what happened tonight. This did not have the emotion of their WrestleMania match. I mean, it never was going to, because that was the payoff to the story. We got the payoff of WrestleMania. Now it just feels like we're in extra innings. But this was still a very good main event. You know, these four worked very well together, and a lot of energy, good action, and the right outcome. You know, not taking the belts off Owens and Zayn so soon. So tonight was a one-match show, but I enjoyed the first two matches of the show tonight. I'm not saying those matches were bad. I enjoyed the LA Knight match. The triple threat tag match was fun for the time it lasted. But really, tonight was a one-match show. And the only weak spot I thought on the show tonight was the women's match. That really was it. I mean, but tonight wasn't about the matches. Tonight was not about any of the matches other than the main event, which was more about furthering the bloodline story and the drama with Roman and the Usos. Tonight was about the draft. It was about night one of the draft. And now that we have night one of the draft in the books, and shout out to Toby for gifting a channel membership to Machiavelli in the chat. Hey, Toby, thank you. And David Wilson just became a Sound Off superstar as well. David, thank you, sir. Now that night one is in the books, let's throw up these graphics here. I want you to take a look. These are the picks for the show. Actually, that's not it. Here we go. Here's how SmackDown shaped up tonight after night one of the draft. See Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman, Solo Sikoa, Bianca Belair, Edge, Bobby Lashley, the Street Profits, Damage Control, the OC, Alba Fire, and Isla Dawn. And then you look at Monday Night Raw. You got Cody Rhodes, Becky Lynch, Drew McIntyre, Imperium, Matt Riddle, Shinsuke Nakamura, The Miz, and the NXT Women's Champion, Indy Hartwell. Take a look. See, look at the Raw graphic, right? And then look at the SmackDown graphic. And you see how lopsided those graphics are in terms of quantity. You see way more bodies for SmackDown. I mean, look at Raw, and then look at this. Way more bodies here for SmackDown, which is an hour shorter than Monday Night Raw. SmackDown's only a two-hour show. So that is going to change on Monday. Why we're far from done here. Has to change on Monday because it's just logical that Raw would end up with more talent because it's a longer show. But you look at these two rosters here. I would say quality wise, it's pretty even. I would give the slight edge to Raw, honestly. You know, SmackDown got Roman and Edge, who barely wrestle, but they did get AJ, Bobby, and Bianca. Raw got Cody, Drew, Gunther. I got to give the slight edge to Raw, at least as far as the men. SmackDown, I think, has the edge as far as the women's side is concerned. And SmackDown, for the time being, still has Rhea Ripley. You know, as of this moment, they still have Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley on the same show. Now, I say for now, you know, you got the Bloodline and the OC on SmackDown and Damage Control. That's three factions that they have now on SmackDown. You have Imperium going to Raw. And I have to think they keep the Judgment Day because they need to balance out the factions. And there's just no reason for Rhea to stay on SmackDown. If Bianca is going to stay the champion, then, which is a shame because I was kind of hoping that we would get Rhea and Bianca on the same brand and then build to an eventual match between them. And now it just doesn't seem logical that that they would bother doing that. But I want to bring this list up here. This list here is the talent pool that is eligible to be drafted on night two, which is coming up this Monday. And I believe this is the entire list. Akira Tozawa, Alpha Academy, Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo, Asuka, Austin Theory, who should be a shoo-in for SmackDown. If you're moving the Intercontinental title to Mondays, then the U.S. title goes to Fridays. Baron Corbin. I would like to see Baron Corbin go undrafted like that last kid who gets picked in dodgeball. You know, everybody else is getting drafted and he's just kind of forgotten, standing there all by himself. Braun Strowman and Ricochet. Actually, you know what would be cool for Baron Corbin? Not usually a word I would associate with Baron Corbin, cool, but it would be kind of funny. Since you could technically be drafted anywhere. If they drafted Baron Corbin to NXT. If you remember when he was the lone wolf in NXT, he used to make fun of these guys who would come in from the indies. One of the funnier moments was when he was making fun of Apollo Crews after he debuted. And he told Apollo, he shouted at him during one of their matches. He said, "Go back to Ring of Honor." Of course, Apollo had never worked for Ring of Honor. But it would be kind of funny here now, all these years later, if we see Baron Corbin sent back down to the minor leagues. And he's on the NXT roster, sulking around. I think that could be entertaining. Braun Strowman and Ricochet, they are eligible to be drafted on Monday. Brock Lesnar is also. And I would have Brock Lesnar right where he is on Monday Night Raw. Bronson Reed, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. Charlotte Flair. Charlotte should be wherever Bianca is. I was going to move Charlotte to Raw, but if Bianca's going to be on SmackDown, then I think Charlotte should stay on SmackDown. You move Rhea to Raw. I just think Charlotte against Bianca is the eventual direction that I would be building to. Dana Brooke, Elias, Emma, Johnny Gargano, who I would keep on Raw, and Tommaso Ciampa when he comes back. Is Ciampa eligible? No, he's not eligible because he's hurt. The Judgment Day. Karrion Kross, who should be on Raw. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. LA Knight, who I would have on Monday Night Raw. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, the reigning women's tag team champions. Maybe they'll do an even swap. Since they moved Alba Fire and Isla Dawn off of NXT, maybe they'll let Liv Morgan and Raquel take their belts and they'll go to NXT and we'll get another belt swap. Nikki Cross, Piper Niven. Interesting, they're listing Rhea Ripley separately from the Judgment Day. Rick Boogs, Riddick Moss, Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, Seth Rollins, who should stay on Monday Night Raw, Shotzi, Tamina, Tegan Knox, The Brawling Brutes, LWO, including Rey Mysterio, The New Day, and there have been rumors that Big E could potentially be a surprise. Which I guess would mean whatever brand New Day is drafted to, maybe Big E makes a surprise appearance. Again, that's just a rumor going around. There's been no confirmation of Big E even coming back. But that would be a cool moment. The Usos are officially eligible on Monday. Trish Stratus, Xia Li, and select NXT superstars. Now, we saw some baffling picks tonight. Less baffling would be moving Grayson Waller to the main roster. He's ready. They put Miz on Raw, right? Miz is still on Raw. then I would send Grayson Waller to the opposite brand. We have Roxanne Perez, I think, is ready to be called up just based on her being pinned on spring break and on Tuesday. It just seems to me like she took the pin in that match. They want to protect Tiffany Stratton, but she took the pin because she's probably on her way up. Zoe Stark is another one. I mentioned her the other day. I would be moving her up as well. Cameron Grimes. And Pretty Deadly. Now, they only drafted three people, technically two NXT acts, if you count the tag team as one act. So maybe they won't draft that many, but for sure, Pretty Deadly, who were murdered on Tuesday. That's how things were left with them on NXT. They were murdered. We didn't see it on camera, but they were killed. They were killed off. They were put in a car trunk and dumped in the water. So, only place left for them to go is the main roster. They will be reincarnated on the main roster. Let's get some more tag teams up. I think the most likely call-ups are going to be Pretty Deadly and Roxanne Perez, but all the names I just mentioned, I think, should be called up and spread out between the two shows. So there you go. That is your draft night in America, everybody. Right? The most important draft of the day, right? Not that other pesky draft that's going on. It's all about the WWE draft, right? That's the one that people care about. Here's the Twitter poll. What did you think of SmackDown tonight? Barely above 50%. About 52% of you have given the show a thumbs up. 29% thumbs in the middle, and about 19% of you have voted thumbs down. So the thumbs ups are winning so far with over 1,000 votes in. What did you think of the draft? Go ahead and vote. At Solomonster is the place to go. Hey, Jeremy Watley, thank you for the $10 super chat. Yeah, Pretty Deadly is sleeping with the fishes. They took a page out of the Impact playbook where they just kill people to write them out of the show. They just murder them. And nobody seems to care. nobody seemed to care. The announcers didn't seem to care. Nobody made a big fuss about it. Poor Pretty Deadly. I do have a couple of quick Rampage notes for you. There was a Rampage show on. I think it was on at 6:30 tonight. So then we'll get to your super chats. But the Firm Deletion match at the Hardy Compound now has a date. It is going to be taking place on Rampage next week. I presume on Friday. I don't know what day of the week it's airing next week. It could be Friday. It could be Saturday. I believe it's airing on Friday. Yeah, I actually have it. Hold on a second. I think I have it here. 5:30. Okay, there you go. So the show is once again out of its time slot. This is ridiculous. All the sports coverage is just annihilating Rampage. So the show will air next week at 5:30. But the Firm Deletion match at the Hardy Compound will be on the show tonight on Rampage. Had the Hardy Boys and Hook looking for Isaiah Cassidy. And the Firm then appeared on the big video screen. Big Bill was holding Cassidy on top of a scaffold. I haven't seen this myself yet, by the way. I'm reading a description of what happened. Ethan Page demanded that Matt Hardy agree to have the Firm Deletion match next week on Rampage, and in return, he would let Isaiah Cassidy go. Hardy agreed to have the match next week, and Page then told Big Bill to let Cassidy go, with Big Bill chokeslamming Isaiah to the floor. Also, we learned tonight that on the May 10th, episode of Dynamite, so not this coming Wednesday, but the following week, there will be a steel cage match, one-on-one, Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. Oh, there will be blood. Oh, yes, there will be. Jon Moxley in a cage match? Get the EMTs ready. There will be blood. So that's May 10th inside the steel cage. I guess that's kind of a little preview of the eventual Blood and Guts match, right? Get a one-on-one match inside the steel cage. All right, let's go through your super chats here. I know you guys have been a lively bunch tonight. There's Boombox Brock. We'll get to kick things off here with Fire Panda. Drop it a $21, roughly $21 super chat. Fire Panda, thank you very much. Let's say the authority is brought back under Triple H. Let's not say we did. The authority is brought back under Triple H and Stephanie, and they are allowed to recruit three superstars each. Triple H gets three men. Stephanie gets three women. Who would you have join Triple H and Stephanie? Boy, you're putting me on the spot.
It's the amazing Goonthar. Jerry Lawler loves Goonthar the Magnificent. All hail Goonthar. All hail the mighty Goonthar. Yes.
Love it. Who was that? That was our buddy Fahad, who just dropped a $58 super chat bomb, courtesy of the amazing Goonthar. Fahad making a run in here on draft night. I love it. I love it. Fahad, thank you very much. Yeah, Goonthar joins the authority. Fahad, I'm going to get to your super chat here in just a little bit. I'm going to go in order here. Thank you for that 50 bomb, man. Wow. Whew. You know, this is the final stream for the month of April here. And we are on our way to having our best month ever. I don't know if it'll... We're like right there. I don't know where we're at this point, but we got 7 minutes left here. This is the final stream for the month of April. So let's end on a hot note. That's one way to end on a hot note. Fire Panda... Man, you're putting me on the spot here, but if they brought the authority back, I mean, I don't know. Triple H. Hey, Raj, thank you for the sub. Who would Triple H recruit? Oh, he already had Randy Orton in his authority once, right? Maybe he'd have Randy Orton back in his authority again. Maybe Triple H would have his own little evolution faction. This time, Randy Orton would be kind of in the Triple H role, since Triple H can't wrestle. Maybe you do a deal where you have Orton and Theory. And, maybe somebody from NXT. It's just a matter of who. I don't know if Waller would really fit necessarily, but I could see that. I could see him like a Grayson Waller type. I could probably do better, though, if you give me a chance to think about that. But as far as the women, who would Stephanie pick? I mean... Rhea Ripley does not need to be part of the authority, so I wouldn't go with her. Maybe a heel Bianca Belair. Bianca goes corporate. Have her part of the authority. She's still very popular, though. Bianca is very popular. Oh, give me a chance to think that over, but that's a good question, Fire Panda. Voiceless Jackson, Cody either winning Money in the Bank or the Rumble. Well, it should be Money in the Bank. I don't need to see this drag out for another year. Groovy Goose, the only reason Cody will be SmackDown champion for a year is because Roman Reigns doesn't want to work Mondays. Thanks for the stream, my friend. You're very welcome. It's an iconic promo. And he meant, right, yeah, I know what you meant. Thank you, Groovy Goose. I know what you meant. Jacob Harrison. Don't know how we're expected to care about Roman's title run anymore if there is no one credible to beat him. Beyond tired of it at this point. Dan Teller. Okay, so that's it then. Instead of Cody finishing the story is just over. So now I guess Cody goes for the consolation prize title. WTF. I'm with you. I am with you, but I have to assume that the plan is Money in the Bank or the Royal Rumble. The story is not over. They have just chosen to drag out the story that much longer. How they're going to get there, we don't know. I don't know what to tell you. You're preaching to the choir. Brett Brode, what was more shocking on SmackDown? The fact that Corpus Christi made some noise or the fact that LA Knight actually won a match? That's a tough question. They were both pretty shocking, I will tell you, but probably more shocking that LA Knight got a win, the way things have been going for him. Raul Altamirano, put some respect on Corpitos tonight, Vato. Okay. I did. I gave them credit. I gave them credit right at the top of the stream. J-Glo with the $4.99, I read a rumor that WWE is considering going back to brand exclusive PLEs. Would that be a good thing or a bad thing, having two PLEs a month? Having two PLEs a month is not a good thing. Having split brand pay-per-views in alternating months where you have maybe three for Raw during the year and three for SmackDown, and then the stadium shows, the big shows are joint. If they were to treat the brand split as a real brand split, it could work. Your idea, though, of doing two PLEs a month, I don't think is what they would do. That is certainly not a good idea. You would alternate. Raw gets three, SmackDown gets three. And then they share the big stadium shows and the Saudi Arabia shows. Right now, though, that's all it is a rumor. This is not anything confirmed. Aussie of Steel with the $6. Hey, Aussie. Thank you, sir. We are only, 12 likes away from Be the Booker, so hit that like button. Seth should still be the one to win the new World Heavyweight title and maybe have Cody win Money in the Bank and announce where he will cash in like RVD did in 06. Also, on a side note, great to see AJ back. Absolutely. I missed him. And even before he got hurt, he really wasn't doing much. So I'm hoping that this is the refresh that he needed and to get him really involved in something meaningful on the show. Como Amosto. Hey, Como, what's going on? I heard from Como earlier on Twitter. Before I get to Como, though, the thing to keep in mind about these split brand shows, they've tried this twice. They tried this many years ago in the mid-2000s, and they tried it again in the mid-2010s. And both times, it only lasted a few years, and then they gave up on it. And a big part of why they gave up on it is because they gave up on the brand split. So if they do go back to a model of split brand shows, which they could do, I don't see it lasting in the long term. It may last a couple of years, and then they're going to go right back to the way things were. Because they always do. It's their MO. Como says, I literally was more excited for this review just to get your reactions and takes on this draft as I knew this was going to be a field day for you. It's always a field day for me. It will be a field day for me on Monday as well. It is always a field day when it comes to this draft shit. Como, though, thank you for the five, man. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you thought it was worth your time. Nick Grosso with the 1999. Indy being drafted is baffling. If that was the case, why didn't she drop the title on Tuesday? You could have argued that just based on the injury alone. At one point during that match, they were calling in a finish of Tiffany Stratton to win the championship because they didn't think Indy was going to be able to make it back in the match. I mean, there's a lot of reasons they could have and should have taken that title off of Indy, and they didn't. But again, they're going for shock value, right? Nobody would have expected the SmackDown Women's Champion and the NXT Women's Champion and the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions to be drafted on the same night. It gets people talking. It gets people excited. Oh, if they did that on Friday, what are they going to do on Monday? I get that. I get the logic in that, but do the moves make sense? Certainly not the moves I would have made. Says, I guess we're getting another belt swap with Rhea and Bianca because I do not see the titles being merged. Arabian Knight 2000 with the $5 super chat says, with Cody going to Raw again, so dumb, does he win Money in the Bank or is his story over and he will win the other title? Is there a chance that Jey Uso is the chosen one? For the other title, no. But, again, I don't think Cody's story is over. I just think they're taking the They're taking the scenic route. All is okay if he wins Money in the Bank and cashes in at SummerSlam and, you know, announces that I want to face you at SummerSlam. That would be the correct way to go. We have the champ with the $9.99. Cody has to be winning Money in the Bank now. Also, I really don't want to see him and Rollins in the finals at Night of Champions. I hope that he gets screwed before the finals like Stone Cold Steve Austin did during the Deadly Game tournament. Right, that's where Shane McMahon flipped him off. The comedic genius LA Knight won. Yeah. Oh, by the way, F the Cody story. Chris Minor, best and worst GM in Raw or in WWE history. It's got to be Mike Adamly, right? Mike Adamly has to be the worst of all. At least as far as Raw. SmackDown had... who'd SmackDown have? SmackDown had Stephanie, Kurt Angle, Teddy Long, Vicky, Paul Heyman. Was Paul Heyman the GM at one point on SmackDown? I think he may have been. Who am I missing? I don't know. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of people. To me, it doesn't get worse than Mike Adamly. Mike Adamly was literally out there with cue cards. And, you know, it's sad because we didn't know it at the time. We found out many years later that he's got some pretty significant health issues and brain issues. And that had a lot to do. I don't even think he knew at the time. And that had a lot to do with his screw-ups and him not being able to remember certain things. But... you have a guy out there reading in front of a live crowd off cue cards to remember his lines. You know, he shouldn't be in that role. I'm sorry, but he shouldn't be in that role. Down bad with the $4.99. Time for a belt swap between Rhea and Bianca. I am so excited. Oh, I could tell. I could tell how excited you are. Isaiah Duzon with the $5. Rob Van Dam got me into wrestling. I was happy to see him on SmackDown, but I am even more excited to meet him at a show in Pennsylvania tomorrow. That's very cool. I saw RVD. He was walking down Bourbon Street. One of the years I went to WrestleMania. I think it was WrestleMania 30. He had an entourage around him. Bodyguards. I don't know whoever they were. And, yeah, I went to go say hello. A couple people just went to say hello, and it was like, nope. Just kept walking, just totally shielded away from everybody. It's like, all right. Meanwhile, I'm running around to just bars on Bourbon Street. I bump into Mojo Rawley is in one of the bars. Couldn't be nicer. He was all over the place. All smiles, taking pictures. Trey Marquis, we are about to have another belt swap. Yay. Toby says, where is Vince? Vince is always around. You may not see him, but he is everywhere. Vince is everywhere. Vince is watching you even when you don't think anybody is watching you. He's watching. And I want you to picture him watching you. You are in your most intimate moment where you think there's nobody in the world who can see what you're doing. You will picture Vince in your mind with that creepy mustache. James Fishwick Guitar UK, a $12 super chat. Thank you, Solid Monster. Been listening to you for 10 years, but more so over the past year as my brother passed away, and I have been walking, listening to all pods that you do, and it does help. Well, James, I'm very sorry to hear that about your brother, but I'm very happy that you found the podcast. Very happy, and I hope that you continue to listen. Rob G, spot with Shane and Blackman in 2000 was insane. Shane was insane. Yeah, I mean, to do that, it's a trust fall, but you're not really falling onto anybody. You're falling onto a crash pad. You're not falling into anybody's arms. But he was every bit of 50 feet in the air, took a kendo stick to the back, right on the side of that scaffolding, and just let himself go. And man, if you If you don't fall in just the right spot, if you don't land just perfectly, that could be tragic. You took a lot of bumps like that. Chris Miner with the $9.99. If WWE logic was in sports, top players in the American League, such as Aaron Judge, and top players in the National League, like Bryce Harper, will all compete for the American League Championship. Well, I thought you were going to say that if it were a real draft, you had players like Judge and Harper that you would draft, you know, I'm trying to think, who can I name, you know, some second string catcher or somebody, you know. I'm not meaning that the Street Profits are a second string catcher, but I'm just saying, again, in the second round, first pick, Drew, Bobby, you pick the Street Profits, really? Roberto Benet with the $1 super chat. Hey, Roberto, thank you. Ginger Sculpion. Longtime lurker, just contributing to the tip jar. Ginger, thank you. If I had a hat on, I would tip my cap to you. Love Lie. Do you ever think Roman is too big to lose? He is such a big star that I fear him losing anywhere other than WrestleMania will not feel like a big deal. SummerSlam is at Ford Field. WrestleMania was at Ford Field 10 years ago. Right? They can put 70,000 plus if they want to in Ford Field. That's a big show. And I know it's not WrestleMania, but here's the thing about WrestleMania. WrestleMania, each of the last 3 years, has ended with Roman Reigns, the heel, going over in the main event. And WrestleMania will always feel like a big deal, and all the pomp and circumstance and the stage and everything, right? It will always be a big deal. But a lot of what WrestleMania was about was finishing stories, sending people home happy, crowning a new champion, getting that big moment. And it just feels like these last few years, we've gotten less and less of that. I don't have an issue. If they want WrestleMania to be just another show in terms of moving the story along, then that's fine. But then you got to take some of these other big stadium shows that they're doing, and you've got to pay off some of these stories sometimes. And SummerSlam in Ford Field would be a perfectly acceptable time to do a title change if it makes sense story-wise. Just because it's not WrestleMania doesn't mean that you can't do it. So I don't feel that way. I think SummerSlam, if it happens at SummerSlam, I think that would be a perfectly fine place for it. I get what you're saying about, oh, it's not WrestleMania, but that's why they should have done it this year. And they didn't. And just because they didn't pull the trigger this year doesn't mean that, oh, well, gee, I guess we can't take the belt away from Roman until next year. No, you can. You absolutely can. J-Glo with the $4.99. WWE cannot have 3 world titles. I think after Roman hits 1,000 as the Universal Champion, they should retire it. What do you think? Keep up the great work. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm fine with retiring the Universal title. I don't really have much of a need for it, but are they going to do that? No, of course not. No, he's going to be the Unified Champion until he loses. He should not lose or retire anything until he gets pinned. Then you can do whatever you want with the Universal belt. Reborn Bladder or Blader. What a gimmick that would be, right? If you were a reborn bladder. Wow. Must be getting late, man, because I thought that said reborn bladder. And of all the things to be reincarnated as, yeah, I can get being wanting to be reincarnated as a bird, as a lion. To be reincarnated as a bladder doesn't sound very appealing. Reborn Blader says, not the worst draft, but I hate the only way to fix Cody now is a briefcase. Love the streams, Solomon. Yeah, I mean, it's not the way that I would have done. Not the way that I would have done it at all, but as long as he doesn't do one of those ridiculous cash-ins on somebody at the last minute, he You announce it in advance. I'm calling my shot. It's like fucking Babe Ruth. He's going to call his shot a month in advance. Then I'm okay with it. Silver Tower. Hey, it's our buddy Silver Tower. Man, he's gifted quite a few memberships over these last 6 weeks or so. Silver Tower with the $18 super chat. Thank you for these streams. I have not been able to watch the shows recently, and your streams help me keep up to date with WWE and AEW. Well, thank you. I'm happy that you can find some use out of these streams. Again, I watch so you don't have to. Or if you don't want to, if you can't, that's what I'm here for. I'm always here to bring you up to speed on what's going on. Scotty. Scotty Clash with the $9.99. These picks make zero sense to me. Cody going after the world title. What story is he finishing if he is going after a title that Dusty was not screwed at? Who will beat Roman now? I don't get it at all. I think it's still Cody. Bobbert Reviews with the $30 Bully the Clown Super Chat. I am a little sad that Bobby Lashley got drafted to SmackDown. That new World Heavyweight title would look good on him. Nick Grasso with the $9.99. If the LWO and Judgment Day get drafted to Raw and continue their feud, Judgment Day is going to need a new member. Finn Balor already teased a new member joining, so what if Cross gets drafted to Raw and he joins the Judgment? If the LWO and the Judgment Day get drafted to Raw, well, I mean, I guess Finn teased it when he tried to recruit Cody last week, but has he been teasing recruiting a new member on social media or anything serious? I'm not aware of there being some kind of big campaign to get a fifth member of the Judgment Day. I don't know that they need another member. I think it's fine the way it is. No, I mean, because if you bring in Karrion Kross, then you got Scarlett. So now you're going to have Balor, Cross, Scarlett, Rhea, Dominic, Priest. It's too much. It's too much. I would keep the Judgment Day together and just move them to Monday Night Raw. Or I guess keep them, since they've been on Monday Night Raw. Rhea went to SmackDown when she won the belt, but I would have them on Raw. I don't even think they need a new member. Wink the Cosmic Grandma for a slice and a pint on me. Thank you, good sir. Thank you for the $19.99. Wink the Cosmic Grandma. KRT, went to the show. I'm sure you've said it already, but was the crowd to your liking? It was hot the entire time I was there. It was the first thing I made comment on when I started tonight. I said, Corpus Christi, they're going to kill their gimmick. They actually made a lot of noise tonight. I was very impressed. You know what's wild about WWE right now? They have a European tour that's going on. And so I don't know what city they're in tonight or today, but the show that they had over in Europe was sold out. Like a legit sellout, I think 7,000 people. And I believe they were sold out tonight in Corpus Christi. So that would be two sellouts in the same day. When was the last time that happened? It's a hot product right now, man. It's a hot ticket. Arabian Night, underwhelming way to bring AJ back. Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm just glad he's back, though. Zachariah, thank you for the $4.99. Two questions. Could Finn win the World Heavyweight Championship? Which lineage bites the dust? The WWE title or the Universal title? The one that bites the dust is the one that's only been around for about 6 or 7 years. Solo Mania running wild right now on all your screens. Look at those 7-inch pythons, brother. Yeah, the Universal title goes goodbye. If you're telling me to pick between the lineage of those two titles, the Universal title can take a seat next to the fucking 24/7 title. And could Finn go after the World Heavyweight Championship? As long as he stays on Raw, I don't see why he wouldn't be in the tournament. Arabian Knight, do you think the plan is for Cody to still win the WWE title, or is that over now with the draft? I feel Cody is a smart guy, and he knows how the story should end. Story is still Cody winning the WWE championship. John John, trailer with the $20 super chat. What is one of the most inspiring promos you have seen in WWE? For me, it was Eddie Guerrero against Brock Lesnar. The night Brock came back out with a mariachi band and Eddie talked about his addiction. Yeah, the addiction promo is definitely one that's on the list for sure. Because, again, it had those elements of realism to it, and you knew that Eddie had addiction issues in the past. Yeah, just the way that they weave that into the story, I thought was well done. Yeah, it wasn't overly exploitive. There's been plenty of exploitative WWE angles that they've done. So that one would be pretty high up on the list. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of retirement promos due to injury from Edge and Daniel Bryan. And they both eventually came back, but those were pretty emotional. I mean, I don't know if you would count those, but, you know, those were pretty emotional promos as well. Those are some of the ones that jump immediately into my mind, I would say. Ian Noel Camelote with the $10 super chat. Looks like we'll have Bobby Lashley and AJ Styles going after Roman next. Hopefully they won't be just fed to him to pad his reign. Well, boy, you are going to be very disappointed, my friend. David Wilson with the 10 spot. I sense the Bloodline losing the six-man tag at Backlash, and that's when Solo drops the hammer on his brothers. Once again, a sound-off member. Cheers, Solomonster. David, thank you very much. Appreciate your membership. Appreciate your patronage very much. Jeremy Watley. I love your show. I agree that Cody should beat Roman at SummerSlam, but I think WWE's intent is to make Cody a champion without beating Roman. They think that Cody winning Raw's belt is the same as the WWE title. Well, that would be very stupid. You know, as much care as they have taken to craft the Bloodline story and the Roman story and the Jey Uso story, I would certainly hope that Triple H and Vince, because, you know, Vince is still, he's got his fingers in this. I would certainly hope they have enough sense to realize that the two are not the same. There is a story that Cody has to finish. This is not the way that you finish. They have to. They have to realize that. Slipper House Extra Extra Omos for the new World Heavyweight Champion. Slipper, I think you may have dropped a slipper on your head. Somebody may have bashed you in the head with one. I hope you're feeling well. I hope your concussion is not too serious, that you are cleared and back on your feet very soon. All the best. Arabian Knight, do you think Miro can be the next challenger for Claudia? I don't. Fahad, there we go. There's our boy Fahad with the $58 super chat bomb. Did you feel that the AJ return fell flat? I did not feel that the announcers made a big deal about it. I would have made a bigger deal about it. I would not have just sent him out there for a promo to be interrupted by the Viking Raiders. But if he's going to be part of the OC, then, you know, he's going to have them following him wherever he goes. I would have made it a bigger deal. You know, he's a former world champion. He's one of the more popular stars they have. I mean, it would be the equivalent, and maybe people think that, you know, Orton's return would be a bigger deal because he's a bigger star on that roster. But imagine after all this time, Randy Orton comes back, right? And they did something similar as a way to reintroduce him. right? There's just certain guys who you gotta bring them back in a certain way where the spotlight is on them. You have something for them to do. You let them cut a promo, or it's some big angle you shoot where you hit their music and they come back out. Yeah, they didn't do any of that with AJ, so it was kind of flat. He got a great reaction. Fans were happy to see him, but yeah, it was kind of flat. But Fahad, again, thank you, man. That's big. Slim Yoshi with the $20. AJ Styles is finally back home on SmackDown. Now give me AJ against Roman, since their last one-on-one match on TV was 7 years ago. Can you believe it's been that long? I know they had a house show match a couple of months ago, but let's be honest, that doesn't count. I agree, that does not count. Arabian Night, only good thing out of the draft is SmackDown has Lashley, and we may see the bloodline against the Hurt Business, plus Bobby is someone Roman has not yet faced. He's credible. You're way more optimistic about the Hurt Business than I am. I think that ship has sailed. But I guess we'll see where Omos and MVP and Cedric and Shelton end up. They haven't been drafted yet. Ian Noel, $25 Brie mode. So you're the culprit. If things work out with Bray Wyatt. Uh-oh, someone's spidey senses in the chat just went off. You said the magic words. If things work out with Bray Wyatt, where would you put him? He was face before he left. The possibility of him with Alexa Bliss and Uncle Howdy, he would have some potential on both shows. A Judgment Day against the Wyatt Six, he says. Yeah, I don't see there being a Wyatt Six. I think that was something that people just read into. Where he goes... And it's funny that, you know, your super chat, I'm reading that one now. Bliss Fan has been a channel member here for 4 months. And Bliss Fan says, I still think that only The Fiend should beat Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, and Alexa Bliss should become champion, beating Charlotte or Bianca for the title. Well, it's not going to happen. But as far as where Bray Wyatt should go, on Raw now we have Gunther, we have Cody, we'll probably have Seth. Drew McIntyre. I don't want to see Cody and Bray. I don't really think... I mean, certainly not anytime soon. Cody needs to be far away from Bray. Bray and Seth. I think Seth would have horrible PTSD even being pitched the idea of working a program with Bray. Bray and Gunther. I mean... You talk about a Styles clash. On SmackDown, you've got Roman. Obviously, there's a history there with them. AJ is there. It's tough to say just because we still don't know what the draft picks are going to be on Monday. I would say probably keep him on SmackDown. I would keep him on SmackDown. Bobby's World. 21-10. $10 super chat. Solo's face when Brie mode was activated equals priceless. We love you, brother. I wonder sometimes if some of you do. Some of you do love me. Bobby's World, thank you. Hey, Silver Tower just gifted 20. Count them, 20 channel memberships. To all of our fellow Sound Off members who were not already channel members. Our Green World Order has expanded. It's a lot of new children to have at one time. That sounds very painful, having 20 new children at the same time. I've heard of Octomom or whatever she was called years ago. I don't know what you would call that 20. I don't know how many would that be? What would you call that? Silver Tower, yes, indeed. You are the GOAT. Thank you, sir. That's very cool. BCOM C clearly, Triple H says, let it play out again. God help Cody. EJ Slemp, Mike Adamly can run a triathlon and he is like 75 years old. What can his haters do? I personally like Adamly way more than Pat McAfee. I don't think anybody is hating on him. He was a shitty general manager. What is this concept? And it's not just with EJ. It's just kind of a general thing I've seen where you say something negative about somebody in a particular role and they take it personally and they get so offended as if you are torching the person. And you're saying that this person has no value, they have no talent, they suck. Mike Adamly, objectively, was a fucking terrible general manager. That was not the role for him to be in. Doesn't mean that in his heyday he was a bad announcer or he doesn't have personality. When he was doing ECW commentary, I found myself laughing more than anything. It was entertaining. Even if it wasn't always meant to be, it was entertaining. But just objectively, he was a terrible general manager, and that's a perfectly fine, correct opinion to have. Doesn't mean that I hate Mike Adamly. I used to watch Mike Adamly all the time on American Gladiators when he did commentary with Larry Zonka. So I certainly hope you weren't directing that at me. I know you weren't talking about me, EJ, because I was always a Mike Adamly fan. Daniel Malcolm, Sound Off has been holding me down since 2012. Over a decade. It's my first WrestleMania back in 2012. Como Amosto with the $9.99. If WWE was willing to allow one of their superstars to come to House of Glory, who would you have handle your Charles Mason problem? And have you ever had any dreams where you interacted with wrestlers in odd places? No, I don't dream about wrestlers. Maybe 25 years ago, I may have had a few about Sonny, which is kind of horrifying now to think about. As far as one WWE star I can bring to Hog, I mean, just one. Right? There's a lot of people I'd love to bring into Hog. Enough to get Rhea Ripley in to compete for our women's championship. I think that would sell some tickets. We already have a former WWE guy coming in to try to take our world title in a few weeks from Jacob Fatu. We got Matt Cardona coming. And Matt Cardona is not coming alone. He is bringing Steph DeLander, his new valet. He's bringing Steph with him as well. I may have to keep an eye on those two. Tony Biquette, who is a better jobber, Barry Horowitz or the Brooklyn Brawler? Both guys did their job very well. So as far as a matter of personal taste, I always enjoyed watching Barry Horowitz. Clone Force 99. I smell Usos breaking up from the Bloodline and Jacob Fatu coming in around the summer, and it will be a civil war in the Bloodline. I think Fatu would have been a great... would have been a great addition to the Bloodline. Still could be one day. Honestly, if the timing had worked out, I think he would have been a great enforcer. Even he would have been in the Solo Sikoa role. I think that would have been perfect. Aussie of Steel, when Reborn when Reborn Bladder hits the ring, you're in trouble. Oh, boy. You're in trouble. Aussie got that from the Henny Youngman Book of Jokes. Zizu with the $4.99. Where did you buy that jacket? It looks sick. Thank you. I appreciate it. If you want to check it out, you can find it on IEDM. Arabian Night 2000. talk about Cody a lot, but having him win Money in the Bank is such a waste. He doesn't need it. All they had to do is draft him to SmackDown. Money in the Bank should be LA Knight or Gunther. I had LA Knight as my pick. I would have gone with him. But just the way things happen now with the draft, it's got to be Cody. It's got to be Cody, because otherwise they're going to drag this out for another year. It's got to be Cody. Silver Tower with the $16 super chat. And that was 16 minutes ago. Look at that. That's on top of the 20 gifted memberships. Silver Tower has been very busy today. I'm very grateful. Moist Kite. I got drunk and missed SmackDown. Love the content. Always a better alternative to watching WWE television. Clone Force. Cody wins Money in the Bank and cashes in RVD style on Roman and beats him at SummerSlam. I like the way you think. Slim Yoshi. When it comes to the women's titles, it would not be an issue if they did not have Raw and SmackDown in the names. Get rid of it and rename the belts. Well, the problem is Raw is red and SmackDown is blue, so you still have the color issue. You could change the name, but it wouldn't make sense for the Raw belt to be blue. I mean, I guess what you're saying, though, is... Well, no, I mean, Bianca's got a red belt, so again, that doesn't really work. When you have colored, the multicolored belts like that, it just kind of screws everything up. Devin from NJ, with Cody in WWE, is AEW now in WWE continuity? Well, given all the references to Cody, you know, going somewhere else and being an EVP and everything that they bring up in promos, I guess it would be. You know what? AEW was in WWE continuity the moment that Sami Zayn cut that promo a few years ago when he was sitting in the ring and he asked the crowd, what do you want to talk about? You could have asked, and he had the fans asking him questions, and he said, you could have asked me about anything. You could have asked me about AEW. From that moment on, AEW was in WWE continuity, storyline. It exists in the WWE universe. Lady Fire Panda, remember before the White Rabbit reveal, I said it's either Bray or it's a bust. Well, it was Bray, and it was a bust. We've finally gotten through all of your messages. Look at this. Nearly 30 new members so far tonight have been added to the roster. That is a hell of a way to close out this month, I'll tell you that much. Now, the goal tonight for Be the Booker, the likes goal, was 500 likes. We are just shy of 600. We need two more people. Who's going to be number 600? But thank you for smashing the goal. And it is now officially Saturday morning. And it is time for us to, here on night one of the draft, to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
A toasted sheep. What's going on? Toasted sheep, 420 in the chat. All my channel members, bust out those B2B, be the booker emojis. We are going to begin by booking ourselves a men's match. The Solomonster draft is over. We have a brand new roster. And the first pick in the Solomonster Sounds Off draft, Solomonster selects Andrade El Idolo. Looking mighty jacked here in this image. I believe Andrade is currently in the Caribbean on vacation with his bride, Charlotte Flair. With the second pick in the Solomonster Sounds Off draft, the Solomonster selects The Rock. The Rock and Andrade El Idolo would be a fine television main event, if I do say so myself. Get Prime Rock in the ring with Andrade, and very good things will happen. So let's do some drafting on the ladies' side here. with the first pick in the Solomonster Sounds Off draft. On the ladies' side, the Solomonster selects Vicky Guerrero. Well, that was a fucking fail. And we don't need to have her on our screen, and so we are going to move on. We are going to move on to the tag team. Solomonster loves himself a good tag team war. With the first pick in the tag team portion of the Solomonster Sounds Off draft, the Solomonster selects Kane and X-Pac. I was always a fan of Kane and X-Pac. I like that tag team. I was always a Kane and X-Pac guy. Kane had a lot of tag team partners over the years. Kane and RVD, Kane and Mankind, Kane and The Undertaker, Kane and Hurricane, Kane and Big Show. Had a lot of tag team partners. I'm sure I must be missing one. Kane and X-Pac, though, was always my favorite. There's just something about that team. I don't know what it was. I enjoyed them. It was X-Pac who got Kane to speak his first words. And with the final pick, Solomonster selects... Oh, look at this. Bobby Roode and Austin Theory. No, wait, Bobby Roode. I picked the wrong Austin. Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, the Dirty Heels. Wrong Austin. I apologize. This is another team. I enjoyed their run when they were together in Impact doing the Dirty Heel stuff. I enjoyed their work together. So Kane and X-Pac against Bobby Roode and Austin Aries. It's too bad the women's one went sideways there. We could have gone 3-for-3, but now we'll never know. Thanks to Vicky. Fire Panda says, okay, Solomonster. Boy, they zipped on by, didn't they? Holy shit. You have a deadline for the Authority's members. I give you until Sunday on the sound. I make no guarantees. Sunday is a packed show. I got enough going on Sunday, and I'm not nearly done, so... Let me tell you guys something. This show on Sunday is going to have a lot of things going on. We're going to talk about the draft. We're going to talk about this new World Heavyweight Championship. I'm going to extensively be talking about this WWE writers lawsuit, which evidently certain people don't want to cover. Don't want to rock the boat. Might need to get a job with WWE. We're going to talk about the lawsuit in depth. On Sunday, give my thoughts on that. We'll talk about CM Punk, his meeting with Chris Jericho, CM Punk backstage in Monday Night Raw. We're going to talk about the Owen Hart tournaments that were announced. We're going to talk about Trinity Fatu possibly showing up someplace. I'll say no more. Talk about Dark Side of the Ring. We're going to talk about Chavo Guerrero and his dumb tweets and his dumb comments this week. Boy, we got a lot of shit to cover on Sunday, so you better come on back. You guys made this a very fun stream. Thank you for hanging out with me. I think we did cover things very well. This is only night one. We get to come back here on Monday night and do it all over again because we have night two of the WWE draft to close things out on Monday. And, of course, episode 806 of the Solomonster Sounds Off coming up this Sunday on all the usual audio platforms. So until then, be well, stay safe, I will leave you, and see you right back here live on YouTube as always, after Raw, this coming Monday. Until then, have a good weekend. Take care, guys.